The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Moonlight, the Philip Lynott Enigma, is an expansive rock theatre production that explores the early life of Phil, who rose from the streets of Dublin to influence and inspire a generation of musicians all around the world. The show will be in Vicar Street in April, and an extra date has been added because the first date has sold out. So the extra date is the day before the original date, which is the 3rd. So 2nd of April, and the lead himself, actor and musician Peter M. Smith, is joining me in studio. Peter, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Lovely. Tell me about the genesis of this show. How did it come about?
Well, John Merrigan's wonderful script, to be honest with you, was the differentiator for me. It really celebrated looking to position Philip in his rightful place as one of the greatest Irish writers, musicians of all time, to put him up there beside the likes of James Joyce, Oscar Wilde, people like that. So for me, the genesis of that was, you know, having watched John try to get that away, he reached out to my agent and apparently he had been looking for somebody to play the part for quite a while.
So. Now, you're black and you're Dublin, so you're actually perfectly placed to take the part of Philo, because I think you really need to know and understand Dublin to understand Phil.
Absolutely. I mean, I was born and raised in Drimna, Dublin 12, proudly so. And as you know, it borders Crumlin, an undisputed territory border, as you know. But yeah, I think we have our own culture, as you know, the south side of Dublin. We're very proud of where we're from. And I think being an outsider in a town of outsiders really helps you to connect and find out who
as a musician really is. And also, you know, having a passing resemblance to Phil himself, I'm sure you won't mind me saying so.
Yeah.
It would maybe have been obvious that you might be cast. Had you ever been asked before to play the part?
Yeah, I mean, recently, about 5 or 6 years ago, I had conversations with Jim Sheridan. I went and met him. In fact, there's a funny story. When I walked in to actually do the official audition, I got halfway through a poem, one of Philip's poems, Dublin, which is one of my favourite pieces. And he just cleared the room. He put his hand in the air and went, "Tell everybody else to go home." Pulled me into the next room with Bruce Shields. And we played a bit of music, had a bit of an interview, a bit of a chat, and then talked about what he wanted to do. Unfortunately, I think there were probably some aspects of Jim's script at the time that perhaps there were some dispute about. I don't know, but the project never happened.
Just never happened.
And I had been approached, God, and maybe back in 2003-04, to do something with another director, which never left the ground either. So lightning, as they say, what's for you never passes you by.
Now, it's not focusing really on maybe the latter part of Phil's life, because that was, I suppose, rather tragic, his early end. He died far too young. This is more focusing on where he came from and how his success actually happened.
Absolutely, Pat. I think, and I said in my original statement before, that enough has been made of, you know, the salacious stuff. Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, we're bombarded by garish stories about celebrities and non-celebrities doing ridiculous things. Everybody has a past. Philip was an artist and a beautiful soul, a beautiful writer, and of course one of the most successful musicians of all time. We should celebrate him, and this piece that John has written is really looking to place him on that pantheon of the all-time greats alongside James Joyce and, you know, Oscar Wilde and the greats.
And obviously lyrically and musically, a very, very talented man. What about your own talent? I mean, do you play?
I do. I mean, you know, I grew up writing songs and kind of, you know, you'll see when people come to see the show, they'll see that where Philip's inspiration himself came from some of his own background and his stories. I have a similar background. You know, I come from what people would have termed as a broken family, i.e. my father didn't live with us. So you come into terms with the fact that you're different on so many levels. You know, you're different to look at in a town that where in those days where it was different. It wasn't so, you know, usual. And you find different ways to channel what you think can make you just like everybody else. For me, it was music and the stage. So I started off in musical theatre, writing, picking up a few chords on guitar, and of late, obviously, the bass guitar.
Yeah, obviously, because tell us a story about Phil. He didn't play the guitar originally when he started off in bands.
No.
He didn't play the guitar at all.
No, and I think originally when he was in Skid Row, he was just a vocalist. Obviously, the great Bruce Shields was the bass, the band leader and bass guitarist. And I think when he was invited to leave, unfortunately, Skid Row, so the lads could make a few more quid on the side, as things were back then. Things were tight. Bruce did bring him over to his house in Cabra and taught him in his kitchen to play the bass guitar, which is something that we deal with in the play. Okay.
So he wasn't an instrument player at all in the early stages, but Bruce Shields was his tutor.
Absolutely, and you know, you see the level that he reached with the bass guitar. I mean, he was as funky as they come, and I think it comes from being heavily influenced by Jimi Hendrix as well. You know, Philip had a natural affinity with all things musical, all things lyrical. So he probably could have picked up an oboe and made it work.
Yeah. The breakthrough for Thin Lizzy really came with Whiskey in the Jar, which is extraordinary because it, you know, it was a take on a traditional song, but done in such a brilliant way. And it didn't, to those who watched it on Top of the Pops or whatever, or heard it on British radio, they really didn't understand its heritage at all.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of debate over, you know, the time it was written, even as a piece itself. I don't think there's any debate that it was written about highwaymen that existed around Cromwellian times and was hanged just up the road in Stephen's Green. And I think it was with great reluctance that the band, and Philip certainly didn't want to record the song, didn't want to release it. They wanted Black Boys on the Corner or one of the other songs to be the single. But they were, you know, the record company kind of put their foot down and said, we need a hit. And lo and behold, the rest was history.
But the riff at the beginning of the song is what sells it instantly.
Absolutely. Eric Bell, who we have in the show, is going to join us, give us a monologue and play a little bit of guitar as well. I mean, it's an iconic riff, really. It's one of those riffs that you play 3 seconds of and everybody picks up on what it is.
Now, there was a bit of a hiatus then. They're trying to, you know, what's the follow-up single? How do we make it big? Which album was it? Jailbreak that finally made it happen for them?
I think Jailbreak was the one that really established them on a global level, to be honest. You know, they kind of paddled around singles that didn't have anything like the success that Whiskey had. But yeah, Jailbreak and then with Gary Moore coming into the band, you know, the twin guitar effect, you know, everything that happened with Eric wasn't great at the time, obviously.
No pressure then to reproduce all of this in Vicar Street.
Oh yeah, yeah, in 2 hours past. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a fantastic show because the catalogue of music, which you're playing originally yourselves as musicians.
Yeah.
You're not playing the albums and the tracks from Philo.
Yeah, I mean, we're you know, there has to be people wearing two hats, if you will, on the stage. You know, we needed good actors and we needed people that could carry a tune as well. So it's going to be a long rehearsal process, but because what we don't want to do, and I stress this, is we don't want to give people versions of the songs. We want to give people, this is a nostalgia piece, and I think what's important is to give people what they miss. And they miss the real McCoy. Now, will I ever be able to replicate 100% what Philip was capable of and what he did? Obviously not. There's only ever going to be one Philip Lynott. However, we've got to give people the real tempos, the real keys, the real sound, the real feel. This is a real trip down memory lane so people can really suspend their disbelief.
Now, you're an actor and you're a musician. Tell us a little bit about your own back catalogue, what the things you've done.
Yeah, I've just wrapped on a film called Code Red Spain, an action film, which is actually directed by the director of this piece, Jason Figgis. And I'm flying off to Bilbao at the end of this week to play another villain, in a film with Paramount, which I'm under NDA, I can't name. And I met one of the guys that's with us, Ian Bjorfield, an actor, on the set of Who Is Aaron Carter, which was the number one Netflix series of 2023, where again I played a villain. A pattern emerges.
And then the characterization of Phil. I mean, did you ever meet him?
Unfortunately,
you would have been too young, really.
Unfortunately, met his mother. Met his mother, obviously, and
she recently passed.
Yeah, she had a really profound effect on me, to be honest with you, because you know she grabbed me by the hand after not even 10 minutes and said, "Peter, that's great that you want to play Philip, but I really need to speak to your mother." All she was interested in was getting on the phone to my mum because she wanted to see what the similarities were between her journey and my mother's. Yeah. She was just lovely. She was lovely.
Now, do you feel a massive pressure then in reproducing the character of Phil on stage?
I wouldn't call it pressure, Pat. You know, it's a responsibility, though. This man is an icon and a legend. And you don't want to shortchange people. As actors, we have responsibilities to deliver, you know, the real McCoy. So, yeah, I wouldn't call it pressure, but it's definitely a responsibility.
Some of the texts come. He even talks like Philo, says one. When I was 18, I saw Thin Lizzy in Birmingham Town Hall. Phil asked the audience, "Anyone from Dublin out there?" Me and my cousin shouted, "We are." Phil invited us back for the after gig party in the venue. A true gentleman and a proud Dubliner. That's from Ed in Dublin 7. You have a particular favourite track from Thin Lizzy?
Yeah, well, I've lots of them. I mean, listen, I love The Sun Goes Down. However, I really love Here I Go Again. I love the early Hungry stuff, to be honest with you.
All right, well, we will leave you with this sound. Moonlight is the show. Live at Vicar Street, the original show was the 3rd of April. It's sold out. An extra date has been added the 2nd of April, and I'm sure that'll sell out in jig time. And also, hopefully, it'll have legs and the show will go elsewhere.
Yeah, we'd like to take this around the world, Pat. I think we've had inquiries, I know, from the promoters talking, from Japan, Sweden, Germany, Dubai. You know, I think this thing is going to stick around for a while.
So, everywhere that Thin Lizzy were famous, that's where the show should go.
Absolutely. Philip is shining the light. Still shining the light.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.